Here we are. It's your friend Chris James, back again to share some food for thought. How's your heart today? Doing all right? I hope so. Hope your mind is filled with lovely thoughts and you're feeling peaceful. Me? I'm feeling pretty good today. Looking forward to getting back to our discussion. So last time, we were talking about the power of thought and looking at the relationship between the habit of thinking loving thoughts and having a happy, successful, peaceful life. We also touched on this idea that through our free will, we have a choice as to how we think. And, you know, it's not always easy, but the option's there. We can decide to look at things in a different way. We don't have to give in to our initial reactions. On my journey, I've had to work on this one a lot. I remember this one time I got a text message from my boss. I don't even remember what it said now. But for whatever reason, came across kind of abrupt. And my first reaction was anger. I remember sitting there for about 20 minutes, you know, feeling all annoyed and defensive, concocting a response. I started writing and then I deleted it, you know. Then I'd write something else and then I deleted it. You ever do that? Yeah, that delete key is your friend, let me tell you. Use it. Well, anyway, in the end, after all that, I never sent a response. I figured I'd go talk to him in person. And, you know, I had my defense and my comebacks all planned out, so I marched downstairs, went to his office. Well, about 10 seconds into the conversation, I realized I was totally mistaken. I totally misunderstood the tone of his text. Oh, and was I ever glad I didn't fire off some defensive response via text. That wouldn't have gone too well. But yeah, I misinterpreted the tone of the message. So my imagination filled in the blanks. Oh, an imagination never fills it in with good stuff, does it? Yeah, for some reason, we always imagine the worst, right? Yeah, that's fear at work. So remember this. When you're tempted to get defensive or attack, take a minute to stop, cool down, consider things. A lot of time you'll find out that what you imagined isn't even true. And you realize if you had followed your first reaction, you would have made things a lot worse. Right around this time, I put a little post-it note on my computer monitor at work. Just had one word on it. Think. I think that little note saved me from trouble more than a few times. Now, sometimes our perceptions aren't wrong. The other person is attacking us or criticizing us. Or misunderstanding us. Our instinct is to fight back or defend ourselves. Makes complete sense, right? Well, yes, but you can still choose how to respond. You still have that power of choice. No one makes you feel any certain way. I know some might argue with me about that one. Yeah, I know. But, you know, I stand by it. My reactions are my own. They're my responsibility. And yeah, there'll still be people that can really push my buttons. But it's up to me to choose how I'm going to respond. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. No. Sometimes it's really not easy. But in time, you know, it does get easier. This is a big part of our spiritual work. Trying to stay in that peaceful frame of mind. And from that place, we handle things better. Oh, and it's funny. How it's easy to be nice and spiritual when everything's going your way, isn't it? That's easy. But the true test is when you can do it when things aren't so good, when you're having a bad day, or you're feeling attacked. These are the things that really test your spiritual strength. And, you know, one thing I found that can help with this is to be open to the idea that maybe you don't see the whole picture, right? We can never see the whole picture, can we? But when we're angry or suspicious, we think we know, don't we? We think we know what's going on. We're convinced that we can see the whole thing clearly, right? We feel justified in our anger and in our actions. But in reality, we're not thinking clearly. And from that place, we can make bad decisions. Now I'm going to tell you a story about not seeing clearly and then making some really bad decisions. So this was back in the 1980s. I was a teenager. maybe 17, 18. It was a gloomy, foggy kind of day, and I was in a bad mood. I must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I was filled with teenage angst, you know? I'd been calling my girlfriend on the phone all afternoon, but she wasn't home. Her mother said she was out, but she didn't know where. Now, this was way before cell phones. If you were out, you were out. No one knew where you were unless you told them, and no one could reach you. So back in those days, your imagination could really run wild. Anyway, one of the dramas at that time was that I knew she had this ex-boyfriend that was still, you know, always sniffing around. I think he was hoping things wouldn't work out with us, so he could get her back. And, you know, they were still kind of friends, so that was creating tension. So I was always kind of anxious about it, that he'd convince her to change her mind about me. Now, at the time, I believed I had a very good reason to worry. I mean, this guy had a 1979 Firebird Trans Am with T-tops. It even had that giant Firebird decal on the hood. Remember that? I mean, what girl would not want to be seen riding around in a cool car like that? My ugly, crappy Datsun 310 could not compete with that. It really shows you the way I thought back then. Anyway, this day, somehow, I don't know how, but somehow, I got it in my head that maybe my girlfriend was with this guy, driving around in that car. Why didn't she tell her mom where she was going? That had to be it. Oh, and I started imagining all kinds of crazy stuff. I feared the worst. I got so worried that I got in my car and I drove past her house. Then I drove past his house. Oh, I'm ashamed to admit this. I've never really been the jealous or suspicious type, but for whatever reason, that day, I was. Oh boy, my imagination was just running wild. Now, this dude's house, it backed up to the railroad tracks. And at this point, I'd gotten myself into such a state that I decided I was going to walk down the tracks and, you know, maybe see in the windows or see if her car was around back. Whatever. I don't know. I was 17. But here I go, walking down the train track. Now, by this point, evening is coming on and the fog is really thick and I can't see more than like 20 feet in front of me. So I didn't even know how I thought I was going to see anything. But, you know, I was determined. My imagination was going. I had to know the truth. Well, I got about a quarter mile down the track when suddenly I started hearing a funny sound. It was kind of like this high-pitched metallic noise. Now, if you've ever been near a high-speed railroad track, you know this is the sound the rails make when a train's coming. They kind of sing, you know? The rails vibrate and make this high, screechy noise. So I stopped, and I looked back. Even in the fog, I figured I'd, you know, see the headlight in time to get off the tracks. Nothing. So I looked back the other way. Well, I saw the headlight, all right. It appeared out of the mist, right in front of me. Oh boy, it was close. This train was coming at me at about 70 miles an hour. I leapt out of the way, just in time. and I fell tumbling down the gravel embankment by the side of the tracks. Now at this point, I'm lying in a ditch. I'm all bruised and dirty and shaken up. I had like, you know, rocks in my hair and my jeans were torn and... I think almost getting myself killed maybe shocked me into coming to my senses, a little at least. And I said to myself, wait a second, what in the world am I doing? I've lost my mind. So I brushed off the dirt, walked back to my car, drove over to my girlfriend's house. Of course, she was home by now. And as it turned out, she'd just been down at the record store with one of her girlfriends from school. She hadn't been over at this ex-boyfriend's house. She hadn't been seduced by the car. It all seemed kind of ridiculous now. The stories I'd been writing in my mind. The fact that I'd gotten all suspicious for no reason. Well, you know, this happens. For whatever reason, fear gets control of our imagination. We start writing fiction. And then it snowballs. I think it was that car. Oh, I was envious of that car. I'll tell you, at the time, I believed that no girl could possibly resist a guy in a 1979 Trans Am. Oh, I wanted one. Well, I never told her what I did. But I learned a valuable lesson. I learned how perceptions get clouded by fear and how it can lead to really, really bad decisions. It's a good metaphor, actually. When I was in that fearful, suspicious mindset, I was surrounded by fog. Couldn't see clearly. I made foolish decisions. Put myself in danger for no reason at all. Fear had gotten the best of me. It overruled my trust and common sense, so my vision was clouded. My inner world was full of turmoil. And you know, this is important to think about. Because like I said before, your mind, your inner world, that's your sovereign kingdom. That's where you live. And only you can choose what kind of kingdom it is. If you dwell on bad, fearful stuff and spend your life suspicious and thinking the worst, you're going to start making choices based on those wrong thoughts, you know? And then, just like I did, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Now, this concept, this idea, it also goes for dwelling on stuff from the past. Interpreting what we see in the present based on things we experienced in the past. You know? Now, this is a natural thing to do. But it can lead to trouble as well. These things cloud our vision, too. We all have things in our past that still bother us. Things that color the way we view the world. Well, we all do. But, you know, we have to take an honest look at these things. We have to be aware of them. Because if you continue to dwell on stuff from the past, well, it's not going to stay in the past, is it? No, you're going to be keeping it alive in the present. And it'll have an effect on your present. This is no good. I once knew this guy, old friend of mine. He got laid off from his job this one time when we were in our 20s. And now, who knows why or what the story really was. I don't remember. But let me tell you, he could not let go of it. Talked about it all the time. Still talks about it. Kind of colored the way he looked at the world. He couldn't leave it in the past. So from that time on, he always saw the boss, the management, no matter who it was at his job, as the enemy. And that's how he continued to approach his job, you know. Every day, he saw it as a battle between himself and the bosses, a war with management. So how do you think that went? How do you think his career went? Not too good. He was passed over for promotions. He was usually only given like the minimum annual increase. He got laid off a couple more times throughout the years. And you know, I'll say this, he was a capable guy, good at his job, but his outlook, it didn't help him. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have a right and a reason to feel this way. Of course he did. But the fact remains, if you let anger, suspicion, mistrust, if you let that stuff into your mind, let it fester, it's going to consume you. And yeah, your kingdom's going to be a dark and depressing place. And guess what? Your life is going to follow suit. It's like a metaphysical certainty. And again, it doesn't matter if your grudges and resentments are justified or not. A lot of times they are. But if you hold on to that stuff from yesterday and allow it to ruin your day today by keeping it alive in your mind, it's almost like being attacked all over again. Then your judgment is going to become clouded all over again too. But now you're doing it to yourself. Don't do that. Today doesn't have to be ruined by stuff that happened yesterday. Today can be a perfectly good day. All right? And yes, I know, it doesn't resolve it. It doesn't undo the wrongs of the past. You know, we've got every right to be upset when we've been attacked. I'm not denying that. But at the same time, being upset all the time is no way to live. Now, come on. I want better things for you. Remember, we're talking about your inner world, your home. Your kingdom. Would you rather be right or self-righteous? Or would you rather be happy and at peace? I mean, if you want to look at it this way, that's how you ultimately win these battles. This is how you reclaim your kingdom you let go. You banish those negative thoughts. You know how they say, what you resist persists? Well, this is the same idea. When you hold on to negative stuff, you're keeping it alive, giving it strength, giving it a place to live in your mind. And I know it doesn't seem like it, but this is a choice. If you give things your focus and your time and your thought, well, you're inviting it to come live in your world. Don't do that. That's no good. Your mind is your dominion. Today's a new day. Make it a beautiful, peaceful place. You can. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but little by little, explore your inner world. Find those places that need a little spring cleaning. Clean out the cobwebs. Go up into the attic and gather the junk you've been holding on to all these years. Throw that stuff out. And you know, take a good, honest look at what you find and ask yourself, is this thing serving me? Is this thought, memory, belief bringing me peace? Is it bringing me happiness? It's like when I thought my girlfriend was going to leave me for a guy who had a cooler car. I needed to reevaluate that thought. It wasn't doing me any good. It led me to dumb decisions. And I know it's not easy. I know. But we're going forward here. So let the light in. Let love shine into those dark corners. And when you make that choice, you're not making it alone. You've got the power of spirit on your side. Oh, and that's some mighty powerful stuff. You'll start to see the world with clarity. You'll begin to see an amazing transformation. Oh, and I promise you, the world will look different. And guess what? When you're at peace on the inside, before long, you're going to start to see the outside change. You'll start to see little miracles. I can testify to this. Don't believe me? Try it. See for yourself. Well, that's a conversation for another day. As usual, it's been a lot of talk. I hope I made some sense out of these ideas. So before our time's up, let's just sit quietly with spirit and affirm and simplify these thoughts. Let's take a breath, relax. When I'm at peace, I'll see things with clarity. My mind is my kingdom. I'm free to fill it with beautiful thoughts and let go of thoughts that don't serve me. All right. Well, there you go. There's some things to meditate on. Hope you have a great day and you can find some time to cook up some good thoughts and beautiful dreams. That's good for you. Trust me, it is. It'll do you good. As always, I'm grateful for the time we get to spend together. And I'm already looking forward to next time. So until then, may spirit inspire and protect you. And may you have abiding peace and joy till we meet again. Take care of yourself, my friend. I'll be back soon.
You've been listening to Comfort Food for Thought with Chris James. For more information and links to our social media, please visit us at our website, www.comfortfoodforthought.com. Thanks for listening.